An anti-corruption dragnet in Saudi Arabia pulls in one of the world's most prominent business figures. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Dozens of Saudi princes and businessmen remain under arrest in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia this morning. The weekend crackdown was part of an anti-corruption drive, Saudi officials say. But international observers also see this as the kingdom's 32-year-old crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, consolidating power. Listen to just one of the names of those under arrest, billionaire Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, who's a major shareholder of Citigroup and has big stakes in Twitter, Apple, Lyft, and owns nearly half of the Four Seasons hotel chain. Edgar Jalad is the editor of the BBC's Arabic TV service.
We have no official confirmation from any ministry that these people are detained and on which basis. But at the same time, definitely there is something going on, and there are messages to other people who are still free, who are not arrested, that if you dare to carry on, look what's going to happen to you. You will end up in the Ritz Hotel. It is a 5-star hotel, but at the same time,
where the people are being detained at this moment.
This is where President Trump was welcomed and greeted when he visited recently. And this hotel is owned by Prince Waleed bin Talal. So he's, in a way, in his own property.
So fascinating. Now, all of this precedes what could become the largest initial public offering of stock in the history of the earth, which would be if Saudi Aramco, the big oil concern, were to list publicly. It's supposed to happen next year. Do you think these arrests will somehow have an effect on that process?
If it will end up that the government of Mohammed bin Salman will address the so-called corruption, definitely there will be impact on Aramco and other businesses, not only Aramco. But we need to wait and see if the Saudi establishment will absorb what happened in the past weekend.
Edgar Jalad is editor of the BBC's Arabic television service. Mr. Jalad, thank you for this.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has previously undisclosed business ties to an energy firm owned by friends and family of Russian President Putin. That's according to documents leaked out of a Bermuda-based law firm called Appleby, an outfit that handles Ross's offshore accounts. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has more.
Secretary Ross was confirmed by the Senate earlier this year, and before that, he disclosed that he owns a stake in a shipping company called Navigator Holdings. What he didn't say was that Navigator does millions of dollars a year in business with a Russian energy company that has close ties to Vladimir Putin. It's owned by Putin's son-in-law and by a buddy of Putin's who was sanctioned by the U.S. government after Russia seized Crimea from the Ukraine in 2014. The Commerce Department says Ross wasn't involved in the decision to do business with this Russian company. He doesn't appear to have broken any laws, by the way.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. Let's check the markets. FTSE in London is down 0.1%. NASDAQ and S&P futures are little changed. The Dow future is up 17 points, less than 0.1%. With that Saudi story, crude oil is up about 0.5%, $55.92 a barrel in New York. Today, there's officially what's called a markup in the House Ways and Means Committee of the tax bill. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has more.
When committee members mark up a bill, that's literally what they're doing.
If you think of it like a paper that you're editing, going through it and redlining and making changes.
Lisa Gilbert is with the nonprofit political watchdog group Public Citizen.
So the bill is gone through section by section with committee members offering amendments to each before they can move on to the next.
Gilbert says committee chair Kevin Brady can limit the amendments offered, but given contentious provisions like a new cap on the mortgage interest deduction, the word on Capitol Hill is this markup could take a few days. Lobbyists are no doubt working with committee members to get pet tax breaks back in. Princeton's Julian Zelizer says the more of those, the more expensive the bill.
If the legislation really starts to get wild in markup, that's the problem, because already the fiscal hawks in both chambers are upset about how this will add to the deficit.
Zelizer says the process will tell us a story about how united Republicans are on their tax plan. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The annual UN climate talks are underway in Germany for the next 2 weeks. This marks the first of these conferences since President Trump announced he'd pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Now, one country in particular is stepping up as the U.S. steps out. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
China sees an opening to emerge as the global green leader. Beyond its smoggy skies, China sees a bright economic future, says Jonas Nam. He researches green industry development at Johns Hopkins University. He says China makes a lot of the world's solar and wind equipment, and they want to sell it.
Global climate agreements help China create markets for these technologies abroad. In 2016, the global solar market was something like $30 billion.
He says nearly 4 million people there work in renewable energy, so
there's a real economic push to make sure the world stays on track.
As for the American role at Bonn, negotiators will be pushing for things like transparency and accountability among nations within the Paris deal. There's no major agreement in the works this year. Andrew Light is with the World Resources Institute.
You're not going to see them leading out in front, trying to get parties to consider making more ambitious pledges down the road because they simply aren't in that game right now.
As both the U.S. and China redefine their roles in the climate fight, the world's businesses will be watching. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And $100 billion got my attention. The microchip maker Broadcom is fixing to make a hostile bid for rival Qualcomm worth that $100 billion. Both make components at the heart of smartphones. Qualcomm is putting up the barricades to try to hold this off. Antitrust regulators will also have questions. Qualcomm stock is up 3.1% pre-market. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.